Why is mine so fucking loud? Wait there a second. When I press the volume down, it just stays.
That's what's happened. All of our relationship, I've said, turn it down. If anything got louder. You shut your goddamn mouth.
I hate winter. My lips are so fucking dry.
Put some lip balm on.
But I've got slathers of it on.
Have you? Put gloss on. That's better. Put gloss on over the balm. That's what I do.
Put some cling film on over the top.
Yeah, that'll work.
And it would look fetching.
Yeah. Like one of those mouth condoms. Have you seen those?
No, what's a mouth condom?
Like when you don't want to like catch something from someone that you're like giving oral sex to, they invented like a mouth condom.
Really?
Yeah.
So what does it like go like deep into your... Matt, how? What? How, like, explain
I
it.
I believe it's just like a sort of metal ring that has like plastic.
A metal ring with plastic. Imagine giving head to someone with a metal ring.
I want to look it up now.
Oh, I'm not sure. That looks less protective than it does just utterly fucking creepy.
Wow.
Are you sure that's not like an oral sex fetish?
No, I'm sure like you get fetish sort of versions,
it's
I guess.
A full mask.
It's all like thing.
It's just for safety. The full mask is just for safety. It's not for anything else, Naomi. I'm just putting my flick on.
Do your flick.
Naomi, have you got your dick on?
No, not for the podcast. They've got the in person meeting.
I also really want my period to come. I've been bloated. And I now have extremely tender breasts, and I feel like I have done about a week. I'm like, what? Where's
tender
this?
Breath.
Because I've just come off the pill, I think my body's a bit confused. It's like, what do I do? But I just want I just want a period to come because I feel like I'd feel normal after that.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like in this weird limbo state where I'm just waiting to bleed, and it's just like, that sounds like a metal song, doesn't it? Waiting to bleed. I need to be on something, but I really don't know what. And I asked my doctor, she was like, I'd prefer not to put hormones in my body, but the doctor was either saying that the implant, because it's the least amount of hormones, or the copper coil, because it's no hormones. But I was looking at reviews online. And now I don't want either, because there's like horror stories about every single type of contraception out there. Like, none of them are like, yeah, I had a great time. And like some of the women were saying that they were reduced to tears. It hurt so much getting it put in. Like, they cried and vomited when they had it put in. And people just saying they had a horrible experience on the implant as well. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there is no. I don't know that there's. The only thing that isn't hormones is the coil, and I've heard some horror stories about that.
My friend pulled hers out because they can be moved.
Yeah,
and she felt it move inside of her, and it was like she knew that she could get it, so she stuck her fingers and pulled it.
Squeamish as well. Oh, I can't do anything like that. Mm.
Yeah. But everybody's different, aren't they? I think I've just gotta try something and see if it works.
Yeah.
Well,
have you been on
change.
Before, sorry?
I've been on the pill for like the last 6 months. But I've...
Was that your first time using contraception?
No, I was on it way before. I was on it for most of the time. That was I wasn't on anything.
Your ex-partner. How is doing?
I wasn't on anything for most of that time, and then I only recently went back on it after we broke up on the pill. I'm thinking I'd go back on the same thing and I'd be fine, but I've had a few different sort of issues, so I think it must be to do.
Yeah, they
with
can
that.
Drive me absolutely fucking wappy. How come you weren't on anything when you were with?
I just didn't. I didn't need to be. Like, I was quite happy. We were quite happy using condoms.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, fair. Oh, yeah. I forget that condoms exist.
Yeah, condoms.
Yeah. But like a lot of guys, I've learned that a lot of guys just don't like condoms for whatever reason. So it's just not a viable option.
I prefer not to use a condom.
It does feel better without them.
Yeah.
But when I was younger, I was fastidious. Like, I was so obsessed with, like, you know, not letting their nasty semen anywhere near me.
Not me.
I know.
I just was not bothered about condoms when I was younger. I always got checked after I'd had sex with someone, but it just does feel better. So
that must have been like a part-time job for you.
What?
Going to get checked.
That's a bit bad. I've had a good time to live my life.
I wouldn't say it was a good time.
Yeah, not always.
Mostly not. Mm. But it was explorative.
Yeah, I think that's good.
And it's taught me what I don't want and don't like.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah. Well, like, if you think that you should be shagging. Boring.
Learning things about yourself.
Learning things. With
I heard some really, really bad things. So, guys, podcast number, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Shall we do the podcast?
Let's do the body.
What is the podcast's body count? We don't know.
Yeah. But we know each other's and we know our own. That's good enough. Is everyone good?
I am good, yes.
Apart from wanting my period to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Period.
Get out of me.
Period.
You know, I haven't had a period either. I hope I'm not pregnant. I recently took the morning after pill. So I think that changes up your cycle and whatnot.
It probably does. Fucks you up. Yeah. That shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
I'm good. Last week I felt was kind of emotional week for me. I found it kind of emotionally taxing. I had to deal with a really hostile police woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple of women break down over the phone to me. One of them was because the police lost some of her evidence, which is just awful. And other stuff, there's always stuff that's emotional in the job that I do. But last week I found particularly like, ugh.
Yeah, it must be really, really hard.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, for the most part, I find that I'm able to separate my job from my life. Like, I come home and it's not really playing on my mind. Whereas last week I felt heavy. But this week going in, I feel good. I feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I've dealt with that, kind of. I mean, it's ongoing, to be fair, but I just feel better going into this week. So.
Why are you in the corner of your screen, Charlie?
I said it's really not that simple. That's what I said.
Why are you doing this?
Cinematic effect.
I said to the guy, it's really not that simple. You know. I said, sometimes you just got to go with what you feel. And I said, it's really not as simple as... Anyway.
What about you guys? How are you both doing?
Good. But yeah, good.
Oh, good. Yeah, nice.
I think I'm good. Just spent a weekend in London with my mother and my child, which was very cute. Well, not the whole weekend, but yeah, we went to the Ritz for afternoon tea and to a musical.
What was the musical?
Matilda.
Oh, amazing. You should have told me. I would have come to see you guys.
I forget you're still in London.
Yes, you
funny. In my head, you've gone to Manchester with Tony.
Oh, darling, how you should have said.
Mm.
How was Matilda?
Really good. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, it was. I don't think I'd have gone if it wasn't for Violet, but she's obsessed with it, and she's recently been cast as Miss Trunchbull in a local play.
No, she hasn't.
Yes, she has. And she is perfect for it.
I can absolutely imagine her.
Yeah.
Around angrily.
Yeah. Bruce Bucktrotter. yeah, she's really good. And she's, yeah. So we were like, okay, well, for Christmas, we'll take her to the actual musical. And because she's played the song so many times at home, for me, I was like, I quite enjoyed it.
Oh,
But it was it was her Christmas present, and it was really about making it special. But if you have, if you guys haven't been for afternoon tea at the Ritz, we really have to go.
Okay.
At some point, because it's just better than any other afternoon tea.
Why?
Darling, it's the ambiance. Yeah. I just think a lot of the time afternoon teas are overpriced. Which this is expensive. I'm not that I don't deny, overpriced. But actually, the service isn't that great, or you know what I mean. It's just not. It's just an afternoon tea. This isn't just an afternoon tea. Like you walk in to the Ritz, it's so beautiful. Like everything is beautiful. You put your coat in a dressing room. You get out to the toilet. The toilet is beautiful. It's pink and like I don't know. And then you go up and you took onto, and they've not like gone absolutely mad and like just made it bigger and bigger and bigger. It's still pretty exclusive. There's one area where they've got the tables and chairs. Honestly, I can't tell you, it's so beautiful. Like the ceiling is just really high and ornate and gold, and they've got like, it's very gold.
Love gold.
But just really like beautifully done. And then there's a guy sat opposite playing the harp. And when if it's like somebody's birthday, they bring a cake out for them, and then the harp starts playing "Happy Birthday." I mean, how cute is that? And you get loads of food, and it's really lovely food as well. And
what little,
you get a tray of sandwiches. And Violet had her own tray because she was vegetarian, and she had absolutely loads. And boy, did she just smash her way through them. But I think the best thing was she loved it. I tried to describe to her how lovely it was and how posh it is and how nice it is. But when she was there, she was like, I did not think it would be this posh. I did not think it would be. Like, you could tell her little face. She was just blown away by it. I think she just thought, finally, Mummy's found me somewhere suitable for my, you know, where I ought to be in life.
My seven-year-old too.
Mummy, I think finally you have found somewhere suitable to take me for afternoon tea. So yeah, I've got like pictures of her like butter wouldn't melt with a little teacup, and she'd put a dress and some little heels on, and yeah, and so you get like a tray of, first of all, like a guy in like there's women and men all serving, but there's a lot of men, and they're in like butler type suits with the tailcoats, and they push your chair in for you and like put your napkin on your lap, and everything is gold and silver and really pretty.
Do you find it a little bit awkward when like they do all this stuff for you? Like I didn't sometimes like,
but I didn't, it wasn't awkward here. I can't really describe it, but it was just kind of, you know, they just put your chair in, and you know, I don't know,
I could do it myself, Pop.
I didn't feel like there was, I felt like they were like, they were on it, absolutely on it with service, which, you know, as they should be for how much it costs. So they'd bring like the food out, you'd have it, yeah, it was really beautiful, but you have like a tray of cakes, a tray of scones that come warm out of wherever they've just come from, and then a tray of sandwiches. And then like, we couldn't eat it all. Even I didn't finish my cake. I mean, what's going on? And then another lady with like a tailcoat comes around with another massive cake on a gold tray, and I was like, would you like to try a slice of this? Me, my mum and Violet were like, we can't fit it in. I mean, that tells you how much you get. But if you manage to finish your three trays, they will say, would you like some more cakes for your trays? And they just keep replanning and replanning.
For free?
For free, yeah. And then, and then at the
cake.
I know. Cool. And then at the end, if anything you can't finish, they put in this beautiful like takeaway box that you can carry that says the Ritz on it. And it's just lovely. The whole thing was lovely. It was expensive, but I think you can pay a lot of money for things that are shit. Whereas at least I think you get what you pay for with this.
Yeah, I've been conditioned to pay the service charge, even though most of the time I don't agree with it. Like, I've been places before where I have, like, they've literally walked from the kitchen to my table with a plate, said nothing, walked back out, and I still will pay the 10%, which has gone up to 12.5% now, will probably carry on rising. But it just feels awkward to say anything, especially because it's just, like, the done thing now. We all just do it, and you don't want to feel like the dickhead in the group is like, I'm not fucking paying that.
But then all the way through uni, we worked minimum wage jobs, didn't we?
I know, this is the thing.
And, and nobody ever gave it. There was no service charge or equivalent, and we really did go over and above to make things nice.
Yeah, I remember when I worked in Hobbs, and I did get, this guy tipped me once, but people weren't supposed to, that was the thing. He gave me a tenner, and I was like, couldn't get him, mate. But like, I've been working my ass off, because it was over four floors. So someone would say, I'd like these shoes. You'd be on the bottom floor, someone would say, I'd like these shoes in a size 6, please. You've got to run up four floors, get them, bring them back down. You've got to like, find outfits to go with them, accessorize them. Like, it was hard work. And we weren't supposed to get tips. That's why I don't agree with it. Because, like, I don't understand why other jobs that are low paid, where people work hard, don't get tips.
Yeah. You know, it's just, and really, you should just pay people for their job, because actually, if you're going to a restaurant to buy food and somebody is serving you it, then that is part of what you're buying.
Yeah, 100%.
It should be in the price of the food, personally.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it is the norm.
Yeah, do you know what's funny? When I was younger, I was much more comfortable just saying, I'm not paying service charge. But as I've got older, I just don't feel as able to say that. Maybe it's because, like, you're an adult. You have more money. It's just like, you just get on with it. I don't agree, guys.
Yeah.
What about you, Gori? Oh. How are you doing?
I'm just trying to. I'm enjoying my new gym. Just trying to get back into it.
Do you have any idea when you'd like to get your video out for?
Maybe next month. Ideally,
sounds very interesting.
It is. It's so interesting. I'm very interested in the subject. It's just sort of like, I still feel like I'm building momentum back up, because, like, obviously, like, I had a difficult December and November, really. And then I got really poorly for a long time. And it's just like, I feel like I've just not. It just takes a while to, like, build it back up again, you know, and just, like, probably get back into the swing of things. And then you...
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I'm just remembering. I was joking about you could shit yourself or something during the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I said I'd record the podcast on the toilet with shart sounds in the background. thankfully, it's not come to that, guys. But
she's lying, it has. You have to sign NDAs.
But I do... I feel like I'm getting better. I feel a bit periody right now. I'm just like, my boobs are so swollen. Like, I haven't felt like this in ages. Like, my boobs haven't been this big in ages. Yeah, like, I actually fit into a bra that I've not been able to fit into for like a long time. I was like, what's going on?
That's the thing I miss enjoying about periods, is my periods.
Like, having the big boobs, but they're so like tender.
I don't notice mine getting bigger. I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think they get bigger, and yeah, I don't know that they got bigger. I don't know. I never really noticed.
Anyway. So I just want my period to come, and I want to. I feel like I'm getting back into work, but yeah, I feel like it'll just take a bit of time. But yeah, it's happening. It's happening. Yeah. I think I'll be able to like properly get back into the script next week. So
you're so lucky, like doing the job that you do, Gori, that you can just like have like prolonged. Period.
Yeah, I am really.
Like, I'm slowly getting back in. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just wouldn't. That's just not an option for most people.
It is. Like, I am very privileged, but that's not to say that I'm not stressed at all. I'm stressed all the time. Like, I constantly think like, oh, I have to get a video out right now. Why aren't I working right now? I'm like constantly thinking that. Like, I never just let myself switch off fully.
What's my little brain gonna say? All right, ladies. So we've talked about how we are. Shall we get into this episode?
Aye, if you want. Oi. I mean, sometimes we do. We say yes, just to your messages. But have you seen
any?
Has
anyone?
No.
We say yes, just to your messages.
But that's fine. And as 10 points for me and my Stuart Lee references. I can apply Stuart Lee to any situation and scenario.
I like seeing that people had been waiting for us to bring out the Christmas episode, and they were looking forward to it.
Alejandro.
I can't go to Arby's without thinking about you, Tree. I think it means three.
Three. Yeah.
You don't understand that?
The Arby's one.
That's your favourite line. Is that my Jiny or a sandwich from Arby's?
Okay.
Life gets in the way.
Yeah, so they were all cute comments. So thanks, guys. Karen comments in. Fellas. We read them all and appreciate it.
Yeah, we do. We actually do.
It's great.
It's great.
Loves it, don't we? Loves it.
Do you love it, Gary?
Loves it.
Love it.
I love it.
She's dropped that voice now, hasn't she?
She says that, but she definitely still speaks like that.
What, Kim Kardashian?
Paris Hilton.
Oh, I thought you were doing an impression of Kim Kardashian. They all sound the same.
So, welcome to our latest episode.
Ooh, we were going to start with a discussion about the movie Saltburn, which came out a month ago now.
But yeah. And Amy was like, I just want to see it and you must go and see it. I loved it. So I went to see it with my newish man. is that how we're just going to do this now? Instead of saying their names, we're just going to go with the new man in my life. Myself and both watched the film, and the reason we like each other is because we both liked it for that reason.
Do we need to do a quick breakdown of what, guys?
It's become pretty notorious, hasn't it?
Yeah.
What did you think it was about before you went to see it?
I didn't know anything.
That's good.
I mean, it starts off based at Oxford, doesn't it? Oxford University.
Yeah.
The infamous Oxbridge, where the richest and cleverest people go to university. I had an interview at Oxford for philosophy, politics, and economics.
Don't want your tie around here.
They said, you look like riffraff.
No. Now look at you. They sent my
college a really nice letter saying how good my application was for philosophy, but not so much economics. And maybe I should reapply next year, but just for philosophy or philosophy and something else. So I applied to Cambridge the year after and didn't get in there either. So
indeed.
Anyway, that's a digression. But anyway, I liked that it was set at Oxford University and it had, the two main characters, one came from money, was like the elitist. I guess that type of student, as you would imagine, the guy who comes from money.
But he wasn't elitist, though. That was an interesting thing.
No.
About
like,
him. He was posh. Elitist. He was kind of thrown into that world. But he wasn't elitist. He didn't look down on the other main characters.
Let me look at the meaning of elitist.
He was elitist is when you think you're above people.
You're right. You're right.
He wasn't like that.
He was part of the elite without being elitist. Yeah. That's what I mean. Life came easy to him.
Yeah.
He was clever, handsome.
Jacob Elordi.
Yeah. He was one of those... He was part of the elite, part of old money. His parents, his family lived in a fucking castle. So, yeah. And then you had the other lead character. But what was his name actually Saltburn? No, the castle was Saltburn. Yeah. So what was his name?
Felix was Jacob Elordi's character.
Of course. He would be called Felix, wouldn't he? Or Sebastian or...
Henry.
Barnaby.
Yeah.
Augustus. Well, if he was doing it on a gap year, it would be suitable. So yeah, Bartholomew, Gothelia, Montgomery.
Oh, ho,
ho, ho. Do you think?
Yeah, what was it you were saying there about the characters?
The characters. Yeah. So the other one, whose name he was Ollie, was he?
Oliver Quick.
He was the impression is that he is from a poor background, but has got into Oxford on merit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to say that the other guy didn't get in on merit, but also he was always going to get in because he's from an extremely rich family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
it's like not just about these, like being in these worlds, it's not just about book, like the things that you've read, that sort of knowledge. It's about I don't know. There's another knowledge that comes of being in that world as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
The way you go on holiday, the places you shop.
I do think it's a sense of entitlement.
Mm,
not necessarily even a nasty, malicious one, but just a sense of this world is mine. This is what I will achieve.
That's what I deserve.
And just, this is what I deserve. This is what I was born to have.
Yeah.
I will get these grades because, and I will get this, and this will come to me. And a sort of behaving in that way because that's all you've ever known.
You've never had to struggle.
No.
So one thing that I thought was a downfall of the film was I think the film actually would have been, so I mean there are going to be spoilers, guys, there are going to be spoilers before we carry on, but one thing that I thought was a downfall of the film was that Ollie's character wasn't actually poor. I think it would have made more sense if he was, like, so they end up going to his house. He has a very middle class, he's had a very middle class upbringing, and yet he's like obsessed with like climbing this social ladder and essentially being extremely rich or owning this castle. I think it didn't really make sense that he had like a really nice upbringing, I think, but then was just
so I didn't get the impression it was really nice.
It was
middle class upbringing. Like, yeah, he really loved his parents. They went to like Ibiza or something each year. I think he had a great life.
It's not Oxbridge though. Like a lot of people at Oxbridge, they would deem that poor.
Yeah,
and they did call him poor. They did say he was poor. The rich family said, "Oh, he's poor." Like,
yeah, but that's only because of the lies that he told. So he told.
Yeah,
that
he'd made out he was on the. Yeah.
Like, he was very poor, but he wasn't poor. So I thought there was a bit of a.
I liked that he was middle class, and that he was pretending to be poor to tug on the heartstrings of Felix, so that Felix, all rich.
Yeah, that gives it more of a story. Like that makes him seem more manipulative that he's pretending he's poorer.
Yeah,
than
but it doesn't explain his obsession with like with having that amount of money. Like for me, like have you seen the film Parasite?
No.
Yeah, that's we watched it like right after because it came up on Netflix.
Honestly, so like you'll know, so that's like an amazing film, like amazing like social commentary on like who's feeding off who, are the rich feeding off the poor feeding off the rich, but you've got that big there's a much clearer difference there between the rich and the poor, and you understand why the poor family that is like kind of, I don't know, I just think it was It made sense, like in Parasite, because they were very poor, and you see why they wanted more than what they had, and they wanted to get it quickly. Whereas in Saltburn, it was like, I don't think it made sense that he was from a nice background. But yeah, that's just my opinion.
In Parasite, though, it's kind of cartoonish how poor they are, though. Do you know what I mean? It's like a caricature of poor people.
Only for us in England. I don't think it is unrealistic for...
Like, they're literally living in a basement that floods and they're, I don't know, it's...
People live in, like, huts that they've built, like
yeah, they do.
That's unrealistic for us, but not for them.
Mm. To me, that wasn't a downfall. I liked it. If anything, I liked that. If you're middle class, you've kind of got a taste of luxuries, but it's boring. It's suburban. You have to work for it, and then you'll get your 4-bed detached box with a garden and maybe a couple of nice holidays a year. If everybody wants shitloads of money, don't get me wrong, but he didn't just want shitloads of money. Mm. Like it was their lifestyle, the quirks about them, like he was attracted to them, he was drawn to them, there was things he really like, there was more to it than just wanting shitloads of money. I know that was a part of it front. I feel like that whole Oxbridge mentality is such a world away from most working class people. I know some people escape their class, but then I actually do think if you from a working class family and you go off to Oxbridge, then often, like I have seen examples of this in like my family, not necessarily Oxbridge, but where people go off and get an education and then they come back and they view the world differently to the rest of their family and they don't fit. The complexity of Ollie was such that he had to be middle class, because what he desired wasn't just the money, it was the lifestyle, it was the things about these type of people that possibly don't register with working class people, maybe. Or maybe I'm just sounding like a dick.
No, like what, not just the money, but kind of like the respect that comes with being an aristocrat, like the titles, the... I don't know, because I could only see him. I kind of do know what you're saying, but I don't. I'm finding it hard to label what else he wanted besides like that sprawling castle. Because at the end of the day, like at the end of the film, it was just him. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It wasn't like he had the maid.
Yeah, and he'd won.
Him in that big house.
But you could say he just wanted to get rid of Felix so he could have the castle, but he didn't, did he? He also wanted to be around him and was aroused by him and wanted to drink his bathwater. And there was something bizarre underneath the skin of those people that he was attracted to and liked and wanted to be around and ultimately wanted to defeat them. But it wasn't just as simple as I want your money so I can go and buy a Ferrari or whatever. I felt there was like a dark undercurrent mixed with attraction and...
Yeah, so I've seen the film described as gothic, and I think his obsession with them is what made it gothic, is that he wanted to consume them, like he wanted to like gobble them up. And he's described, you know, that scene where he goes down on Felix's sister when she's on a period.
He says
I'm a vampire, me, and like he really is. He just
eats
them,
from
the inside out. I do kind of know what you mean. Like he wanted. It wasn't just about the money. He like wanted like he fed off them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. And he wanted to be around them. And he wanted. Yeah. It was like. Yeah, and I think that is a middle class aspiration, albeit we don't do it all. Do it in that sort of. No. We don't all
drink the semen of the people we want to be like.
Yeah. But I mean, do you think I've got that wrong? And that actually he just fancied Felix because he's gay? Because I felt like he wanted... I think he wanted a bit of all of them.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't think he was gay. To be fair, he's such a complex character. I think it's difficult to put your finger on what exactly he wanted. What he wanted the outcome to be. Like, we know he wanted Saltburn. Fine.
Yeah.
But it does feel like...
Was that the objective from the beginning, do you think? Or do you think he just wanted to get in there, and then once it had gone wrong with Felix and he realised he could get rid of Felix, then he got the taste for it, and then the sister had sort of put him in a position where she was like, I know what you're about, and then she had to go. And then the dad was like, you're going to have to leave now, and then he was like, okay. And then eventually he went, and then he was like, right, I'll just have this all to myself.
I don't know at what point he decided that he wanted Saltburn, because obviously the dad gave him that money, and then he fucked off for a while.
Yeah.
And then the dad died. And then he found out where the mum was living, because she'd moved away, right? She was living in a little flat. And then he obviously had been following her and watching her so he could bump into her.
And
so
get back there.
So had he been following her that whole time? Did he know that she was still in possession of Saltburn, even though she'd moved away? At what point was his objective to obtain Saltburn? I don't think that was his aim from the beginning. I think it's like you were saying, he wants to get in there, like get into that world. But I don't know at what point he was like, I'm going to fucking have this.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know that was very clear, to be fair.
No, maybe it was left ambiguous intentionally.
Yeah.
But there I really liked the creepy
stuff, though. I thought it was brilliant. What do you think, Gory?
There were some things that they just... Yeah, there were some things that were ambiguous, like his sexuality, what he really wanted and all that. But there were some things that they just really didn't... Like, the little sequence at the end where they showed exactly what he did. I was like, well, you didn't leave any of that ambiguous, did you? You just literally showed us exactly what he did. It's like, I don't know, I just felt like that bit was a little bit spoon-feedy, like... Okay, I get it. Like, I get it now. You didn't have to show me that he was, like, typing crap on his laptop. I get it now.
Yeah. Were you annoyed at them? They were underestimating you. How dare they?
Yeah, I'm cleverer than that, guys.
I can connect basic dots, guys, honestly.
Yeah. So one thing that I'd read is that it was supposed to be like a satire, like a social commentary on like the rich. Then I saw an article that said, well, can a very rich posh person write a decent satire about the rich? I can't remember the director's name, Emily something, but she's like, I think she was she at Oxford? She's like a fancy posh woman. And I do think that was a good question worth asking, because even though I did enjoy it, I don't know, it didn't feel like it was critical of the rich in the way that I expect a satire to be. I'm not sure what it was saying about them. They were like, what I did think was interesting and was satirical was like how English they were, like especially like specifically when Felix died. And he's like, oh, okay, just like carried on as normal. Like his dad tried to move the body. Oh, he just needs a jacket, his dead body. He just needs a jacket, just needs to be warm. We'll just move him inside. And then they're inside like eating their shitty shepherd's pie, like traumatized. And like, we'll just close the curtains.
But while the hearse is going past.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Like that felt satirical and like a commentary on how like stiff, I guess, the English can be. But I don't know, what was it saying about the rich? I don't know. But then, like, you know the stuff about Felix, and when Felix said, Ollie's from Liverpool, and they were like, where's Liverpool? And one was like, North. I thought that was North. Funny. Yeah. Like, it's like Southern posh people were just like, the North, it's all the same. It's Grimmock North, you know. Do you know what I mean? I thought that was funny, but I don't know what it was saying about them. Do you know what I mean? What did you
I liked
think?
The mum in it.
Yeah, she was great. Rosamund Pike.
She was very funny.
She was funny. I was a lesbian once.
You got a bit wet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it was just that they didn't ever say, it was like a rule to not say that things were bad, but to gloss over it and pretend like everything's okay. I don't know if extremely rich posh people do that. I've never been an extremely rich posh person, so yeah.
I think it could have said more about the rich.
I didn't think it was a social commentary.
No, but apparently it's supposed to be.
Right.
I just thought isn't it was, the woman I who mean, directed
some funny
it like
bits about the rich, but
isn't the what woman who directed it? The woman who directed it and like wrote the story and everything, isn't she like super posh herself though? So she's not really got much perspective.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not a colin like what they name got ID, should have said, that said kind of very rich posh person write a satire about the very rich and very very posh. Yeah. Arguably, she didn't achieve that.
Not fully, maybe.
Maybe no. Because she knows something we don't, so we don't get it.
Maybe.
We've entirely missed the satire and we're just like, drinking bathwater! Like the dogs we are.
We'll get shagging silent.
She made it to take the piss out of us. It was all a social experiment.
The joke's on us, after all. We're writing articles like, we don't think she can do satire. Well, she's absolutely laughing at us, knowing that we're
laughing all the way to the bank with a hit film. Yeah.
Well, it was never aimed at those people. We don't understand satire. To understand satire about the rich, you probably need to know things about the rich. I'm not like a middle class or working class perspective.
I think it felt to me more, if it's going to be critical of anyone, it felt more critical of normal people, or the middle class. Like his obsession with them felt like a commentary on how obsessed we are with money, and like Britain's obsession with the royal family. Like they give a flying fuck about us.
Yeah.
Like blows my mind. It felt like more critical of that than it did the rich.
I suppose if you're clever enough to get into Oxford and made aware of that world, then you might be like, well, I'm clever. I'm as clever as you. Why don't I have what you have? Where do you get it? Whereas a lot of people will never get to that world or even become aware of it. I can't tell you the shock when I got to King's College London and realised those types of people existed.
Did you come across a lot of those at King's College? Like, really?
It was just.
We did speak about it on another podcast.
Did I? Okay, yeah. So like that, I just was totally overwhelmed and couldn't have felt more out of my depth socially with people. It really made me anxious. I just, it was this new breed of people and I didn't get them and I didn't like it. So when I got there, there was a girl opposite me in her room and I actually did like her. She was called Annabelle. And I'd be like, Annabelle, are you rich? And she'd be like, oh, I'm comfortable. Comfortable. Yeah, she was comfortable. It's comfortable. And there was like a...
Working class, like thing to just ask someone. Hey, Annabelle, are you rich?
Are you rich, Annabelle? Comfortable, yes. And yeah, and she was so skinny. I don't think she ate much. I mean, that's irrelevant. And then there was another girl called Nedda. I mean, Annabelle's daddy was the top of a company. Nedda had Jimmy Choo's. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was a different breed.
Go on.
I mean, they're not all like that, but it was just, there was a guy called Tom, and then, and he was such a dick that we called him E-Tom because he'd been to Eton. I can remember being like, I can remember being in a taxi with them once and being like, what would everyone do if you got £1 million? Like, you'd just stop working. And he was like, £1 million isn't even very much money. I wouldn't stop. And I can remember Nedda being like, Tom, it's quite a lot of money to some people, not everybody's. And around these people, one of the boys got yachted into London, I think. Absolutely fucking ridiculous, these people. And they're not all like that, but I had unwittingly plunged myself in amongst these people without realizing it. So Annabelle had gone to a private school before. A lot of them had. And there's me coming in from Grantham College. Grantham College, love, I'm first person in 5 years to get all A's. She's like, yeah. So I can remember being like, have you ever done anything naughty? And she was like, well, sometimes me and the girls would go out of our whatever and like broke out of the dorms or whatever to go into town and get a cup of tea. And I was like, okay.
She didn't run through some fields of wheat.
Well, it is a bit fucking reminiscent of that, isn't it? I was thinking, if that's the naughtiest thing you've ever done. So anyway, me and C from Grantham, this is one of my favourite stories ever, went out with Annabelle and we went to get pizza in Covent Garden at a nice restaurant. And we were laughing, got absolutely wasted in town. We were in 90 degrees. Do you remember 90 degrees? Mm-hmm. It was the local nightclub for, well, basically 17-year-olds. And as you went inside, you had to go up a massive staircase to get into the main club. I actually worked there. But this night I was off. So me and Chloe had gone out for a night out and they'd got this new resident DJ and he was vile. He was like orange and muscular. And sometimes like after staff briefing, he'd be like swanning around in the rooms upstairs in like this mini dressing robe. And I'm like, why are you wearing a mini dressing robe? Anyway, he'd come from Ibiza and he was trying to introduce like what the sort of DJ sets things people did in Ibiza, like trying to get people to snog and do weird stuff, and just it was just gross. Like we just didn't like him. So we slipped under the front of the DJ booth because it had like a lip on it, and we went underneath and we were like, "Beefcake!" And we were both taking it in turns to like shout that at him. But in the end, I think, what did he do? I think we got in trouble for it. And then Chloe argued back and I was like, I'll just take her out. But then me trying to say, I'll just take her out, this big bald meathead bouncer came and got me behind my arms like this. And then they got and took me down the stairs in my place of work. So I was like going past people I worked with and I was like, get off me, get the fuck off me. Cause this was the first time anybody had restrained me. And I was very straight laced. I was like, what are you doing? Yeah. Well, this was not consensual.
Just for shouting beefcake.
Literally, fucking power hungry, ugly, orange, small town men.
Yeah. Ugh.
Anyway, I do sometimes think that people who want more control than their intellect should allow them do get into being a bouncer.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, bouncers are dicks. I'm policemen. Like, this is the same breed of people.
Sometimes, yeah, definitely.
Oh, you can't say that, but yeah.
So, yeah, so I got took down. Like basically talking down the stairs as if I had handcuffs on the back of my hand. And we got out the front and And Chloe had been shagging the manager of the nightclub for ages. He's the same age as her stepdad. I can remember when she brought him home, he'd looked at the picture of her stepdad and been like, I know him. Oh. And so we were like 18, 19 at the time, and he was in his 40s, this revolting, he was called Darren. And she would laugh at, like, because she told me that when they're sexy, they'd be like, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Oh. Who's your daddy? So I got tucked down the stairs, yeah. And I come out, and who should be at the front but Darren, with all of the other bouncers. And I can hear on the radio, it says, there's another one coming. and I looked at Darren in front of the wall and I went, yeah, it's the one you're shagging. cue Chloe being brought down the spiral staircase with a bouncer on each limb. With her going, get off me! She like had a wig at the time. She'd ripped a wig off and she was just like, get off me!
Oh, this must not been not long after she shaved her head.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Was Annabelle present for this? Is this what you're saying?
No. So it was more just that, like, me and Chloe were reliving that story with Annabelle eating pizza. And the look of horror. Mm-hmm. Absolute abject horror on mm-hmm. Annabelle's face mm-hmm. is what taught me we are very different people from very different backgrounds. But don't tell me that's not fucking funny, because that is so funny. Who's your daddy now, Darren, eh?
When so my friend Maggie went to Cambridge, and they have these like big dinners similar to what you see in the Harry Potter films.
That it looks like Harry Potter.
Yeah. And I went to one of these dinners and sat opposite this guy, obviously a student of Cambridge, and I hadn't gone to uni at this point. And he's like, so what uni are you at then? And I was like, I'm not. And it was the most awkward thing, because you could see, like he was saying about Annabelle, you could see the look of abject horror on his face. He was just like,
yeah.
Oh. And just like
can't compute
what to do with that information.
Yeah.
Obviously, like we're saying, when you're super rich and posh, it's just another world. And it's like, not going to uni just would not have even been an option for him. Like, he could not compute it at all. Do you know what? I wish that when I'd gone to UCL, I was like. At first, I wasn't that bothered about making friends. Doing this degree at 31 years old, so let's just fucking get it over, didn't we? And then I warmed to the idea of making friends and did make a couple who are great and I love them. But I wish that I'd met, like, I was ready to meet the super rich, super posh people. Like very rich people, they don't party like us. It's on another fucking scale. Mm. Like, I was ready for that.
Yeah.
Like, where are my rich friends?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, we're all working our way up. Let's check in again when we're in our 40s. I don't think we're going to be doing badly.
Oh no, we won't be doing badly. We're doing well. But like, uber rich though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like generational
wealth.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, so once again, as per usual, we have digressed.
So you were saying, anything else about the film, Naomi? Because you're trying to drag us back on topic, aren't you?
Yeah. I would definitely say it's a film that you have to see without knowing anything about the shocking scenes. Because, like, at this point, if you go and watch it, you're going to have heard about the bathtub scene, the naked dancing at the end, possibly the shagging the soil. But because I didn't know about those scenes, I was so, so shocked.
Yeah, I didn't know about any of them at all.
Yeah, I didn't either.
No. Yeah, which is great. Because I wasn't expecting it at all. I think it had the feel, like, usually, like, a cult classic, I think, is something that was, I don't know, not always, maybe, but I was going to say usually something that's a bit smaller, maybe when it comes out, and then has a cult following later down the line. Maybe that's not always the case. It had the feeling of a cult classic about it, in part because of those like scenes that you just don't expect, which comes from Ollie being this fucking insane character that you didn't, you just don't expect him to be that. But then what's really interesting about him is that I think it's always there in him, but also like he develops into that. Like you really see his change. Like when he starts at Oxford and he's got his glasses on, he's got like the little side parting, and he's with that geeky man who loves math.
Mm.
And then you see his like aesthetic change as he develops as well, which I thought was interesting.
But was that not manipulated? Was that not part of his role that he was putting on because he knew what he wanted all along and what he was doing?
Well, it's difficult to say, isn't it? Because we don't know at what point did he decide to be this like conniving little.
Well, we knew he was infatuated with that lifestyle from the off because the whole bike puncture thing was, and then the sob story about there, he knew that presenting himself as somebody from really like difficult working class beginnings would tug on the heartstrings of posh-oed Felix who'd been born into, you know.
Yeah. But he's like aesthetically, he just looked a bit geeky at first.
Mm. Mm.
Then he got suaver as the film went on.
But you could see the way he was like feeding certain lines to certain people in the family that he was manipulating from the off.
Yeah.
Exactly what the end goal was from the off, I don't know. But did you enjoy it, Gori?
Overall, yeah. I did. I did enjoy it overall. I had no idea what to expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was really shocked with those certain scenes, and I didn't know when he first went to the castle, I was half expecting the posh people to end up being more weird than him, but it turned out he was more weird than them, but everybody was weird. Yeah. So that was like a cool thing.
Yeah, you're right. Sort of the trailer for the film had framed it like he was going to this castle with these really weird people and he was going to fall into some darkness. But
we'd recently watched Get Out as well, and obviously in Get Out. Have you seen it, Charlie?
I don't think so.
It's so good, you have to watch it. It's on Netflix, isn't it, I believe?
Yeah.
It's such a good film. But basically it's a very similar premise, but basically a woman's dating a man and she brings him back to her parents' house and they're really rich, but it turns out in a very interesting way that her rich parents are the complete weirdos. But I won't spoil anything else,
it's worth watching.
I liked it, and I thought parts of it were interesting, but it didn't blow me away.
Mm.
I think it would have been better if they'd... I feel like they ruined it at the point when it was the surgery and all that. Like, I think they could have mapped it out better.
That's when it got very, I guess, sci-fi-y, when he was like... Because I didn't even understand what the neurosurgeon was trying to do. Was he trying to swap over the entire brain? I don't know. Because, like, he wanted to see, so I was like, well, how is he going to get him to see?
Yeah. But have you heard these stories about when they do heart transplants?
Yeah, and they get like the passions of the person that they got the heart from.
Isn't that interesting? Or they like develop a likeness for things that the person without knowing what that person liked. I find that really, really interesting. But then I'm sure I listened to like a scientist trying to explain it. They're almost like you've got a mini brain in your heart, or I don't know.
That is interesting because, like, if so, then we have literally no idea how that works. But but also, I don't think we've done like widespread studies on heart transplants to really know. But yeah, it is interesting that this is the odd story that's like, I remember reading about a guy who, like, all of a sudden got a passion for classical music, and it turned out the heart that he got, the guy was like a prolific violinist or something.
Mm.
I don't know.
That's pretty cool.
I'm trying to remember what it was that I listened to, but I'm sure it was something to do with like a communication system between the heart and the brain, which would mean that, I don't know, but some sort of residue was in the heart. I don't know. That's like
the communication system between the gut and the brain.
Yeah.
I found that really interesting as well.
I'd like to swap my gut for somebody else's.
Yeah, because like that is interesting, because like as I was saying before, like you can get proper stomach problems from stress, and like that's only going on in your brain, isn't it? So it's like clearly there are connections going on there.
100%.
So it's not out of the question that your heart could be like holding something from your brain.
Yeah. Stress can be you know, shorten life expectancy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's a book that I want to read actually called The Body Holds the Score.
Yeah,
you guys have heard of it probably, I don't know, but all about how your body holds trauma, and I guess we'll talk about stress as well,
because that sounds really interesting.
This ties into something I've been looking into. I was looking into acupuncture, but basically somebody went on Dragon's Den with a company called AccuSeeds. So there are these things called ear seeds, which are supposedly based on the science behind acupuncture. Well, basically, you attach these little metal balls to your ear in a certain position, and that's supposed to cure like certain things like aches and pains in your body, inside your body, outside your body, anxiety, mental issues. Like, obviously, like it's a, you know, it's a magical thing that can cure everything. Mm. And she like and she's making a fuck ton of money out of these ear seeds. And She buys them for £3 and she sells them for £30. So her margins are fucking massive. Mm-hmm. So like she got a offer from every, like there were 6 dragons because Gary Neville was on as well. She got an offer for, like she got an offer from all 6 dragons.
Gary Neville, the footballer Walkers man.
Yeah. The guy that said that holidays are mini retirements. That guy.
Oh, him. Oh, no, he's not the Walkers guy.
You're thinking of
Lineker. Oh, no, that's Gary Lineker. Gary Neville is another football guy. But anyway.
The one who,
he said that vacations are mini retirements. That's him, fucking hilarious. But but anyway, yeah, so they all wanted to invest in it, like, straight away. Like, I feel like normally they've got, like, some kind of morals. They're like, oh, this is pseudoscience. But as soon as she said how much money she was making out of these, they're like, take my money, all of it. But like that led me on like this sort of trip, like trying to find out how much scientific evidence there is behind acupuncture, because the NHS actually funds acupuncture. Like can get acupuncture on the NHS. So I was like, well, surely there must be some like scientific evidence behind acupuncture then. So I really looked into it, and like basically there are studies that say that, like, you know, there is quite a lot of evidence that it can relieve pain after like operations and stuff.
Is it but, like Chinese medicine?
Yeah, it comes from like ancient Chinese medicine.
Yeah.
So basically there's some studies that suggest that it works, which I think is why the NHS does fund it sometimes. But the thing is with acupuncture is you can't do a double blind test. So a double blind test, what they'd normally do with like tablets and things and medicine, is the tester won't know what's a placebo and what's not, and also the patient won't know what's a placebo and what's not. That's what you have to do to get like a fully fair test to make sure that it's not a placebo that's making it work. But with acupuncture, there's no way of doing that because you're physically like sticking needles in a person. So for that reason, we haven't really done any proper double blind placebo, like we know that it's not a placebo effect trial for it. And for that reason, because there's like a little bit of evidence that some people say like, oh yeah, it's working for me, it gets funded by the NHS. But we actually don't know if acupuncture works at all. It could all just be placebo. It could all be in our heads, like us just telling ourselves that it works, and that's like powerful enough.
But it probably is quite an inexpensive form of placebo, and if it convinces some people and then they actually feel better, and I guess all they care about is the output.
Yeah, but it's crazy though, isn't it? Like it's like literally so powerful that it's that like you can just get it on the NHS when it probably, like in my opinion, it probably is just a placebo. Like it's, you're just like sticking fucking needles in, like what's that doing?
I mean, I did read something about them like going into where the needle goes, because even though it's so tiny, it does cause a reaction in your body that can relax you or something. Because it does go into muscle, doesn't it? I actually tried an acupuncture appointment recently, because where I go to my chiropractor, they got a new lady starting to do acupuncture, and I thought, you know what, I'm just gonna try that just to see what it's like. And I hardly got any needles. I think I only got like about 1 or 2 or 3, and she was like, can you feel can you feel that? Can you feel that? I was thinking, I can't feel that, love. Can't feel that.
Did it not work for you at all then?
No. So I stopped. I thought, I mean, she seemed a bit wappy as well, a bit, yeah. I don't know. You know when you just get a vibe from somebody and you're like,
but also, like, chiropractics. There's no evidence behind chiropractics that, like, really, that seriously makes you better either. It just, like, cracks your back a bit, but it doesn't, there's no evidence that it gets rid of pain.
I think,
like,
it does help people as well. My partner has been seeing a chiropractor, and it's really helped him. I've got a friend who's got, is it called scoliosis? What's it called when you're
scoliosis, yeah.
S-shaped. Mm. He sees a chiropractor, has been doing long term, and it's made a huge difference for him.
Mm.
But I think it's best, if you've got back problems anyway, to team it with something else. So, like, teaming it with Pilates, which was developed specifically for back pains, or yoga.
I need to go and do
yoga
or Pilates. I do. Like, I feel like I'm watching Violet develop her flexibility while she does gymnastics, and watching mine just, like, seep away, and then I get all these, like, pain on my right side. I just think I really need to, like, go and invest time in something like that. So,
final thoughts.
Tell us what you thought of Saltburn, and if you think our analysis is right, and if there is something that we just haven't quite put our fingers on about it, because I feel like I'm struggling to describe exactly what I like about it. And I want somebody to articulate it better than me. Did you want to dance with your willy out at the end?
Yeah.
What did you think of his penis? That's
the most important thing. Thought it was looked all right. Just normal penis.
Pleasant penis.
Looked a good size for a flaccid penis.
Yeah. Decent. Doing well
there. I think, from memory.
Yeah, but you know, men will, like, jack it up a bit, won't they, before they go on film.
How do you do that?
That was his decision to do that scene. They had different ideas. One of them was that it would be him and Duncan at the end, and, like, Duncan serving him. And apparently that just felt a bit flat. And it was Barry, what's his surname?
Kion.
But he suggested the new dancing around Saltburn. Great, I mean, like, a great idea, because it was like him marking his territory and, like, showing that he felt truly free, like he fucking owned that place. He could do what
and
he
I feel like new generations of people have been introduced to that song now. It's
got number one.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's a good song.
Also, I'm a fan of male nudity in films, like, because we see so many women with their tits out. Like, I want to see more peenies.
Yeah, more peenies, please.
More peenies, please.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think, like, one of the messages was eat the rich? Like, in a jokey way?
I didn't get that. I actually thought that a lot of those characters were quite nice and likeable, and they were sort of, like, idiots, but...
Yeah, like that woman that they brought in, like, and then she died.
Across as very naive.
Yeah. Kind but naive, but that's one of the things that I really hate about sort of, like, the people who worship really rich people. It's like, oh, but they give to charity. It's like, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah. Maybe that's a commentary on the rich, like the need to, I don't know, pity people and want to help.
Some of the worst people I've come across are people who are Christians.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I'm Christians and I actively believe in Jesus, who, you know, stood with the lepers and whatever and washed their feet, but I certainly won't be voting in a leftist party. And those immigrants can fend for them fucking self. If they get into one of those, what are they called, dinghies, be it.
No, I disagree with the Christian perception of immigrants here. Well, not disagree, but my experience from going to church every Sunday when I was younger is that a lot of Christians fucking love immigrants because what they want to do is convert them.
Yeah.
They invite them into the church so that they can teach them the wicked ways, what they think is barbaric, and in fact they should be following the lovely white Jesus Christ.
Yes, from Jerusalem with his lovely blue eyes and white skin. Yes,
his alabaster skin.
Yes. He must have stayed out of the sun. Alive, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.